Hello, Year 11, and here I am with this week's podcast, which is on the Church and the Kingdom of God, to help you with your second assessment, which is on Friday, the 23rd of April. So firstly, huge well done for last Friday with Peace and Conflict. I thought that you conducted yourself brilliantly, and I was impressed with how much effort you appeared to put in your papers. So I'm going to kick off with 5.1, Pilgrimage and the Stations of the Cross. Please do, obviously, if it helps you, pause this podcast and maybe listen to it in chunks. This is obviously a really useful alternative way to revise, so I hope you get something from it. So Pilgrimage and the Stations of the Cross. Before I remind you what pilgrimage, think in your head if you can do it by yourself. Now, just think of that word pilgrimage. What does it mean to you? What does it mean? And what do you think it means to Catholics? Okay, so a pilgrimage, remember, is a journey that has a spiritual purpose, where the destination may be a sacred place, okay, such as Jerusalem. Obviously, remember that that's the city in Israel Jesus died, and Catholics might visit Jesus' tomb. The Via Dolorosa, so that's the street through which Jesus carried his cross. They want to share in Jesus' life and suffering, and renew their faith and commitment to Jesus. They also, Catholics might make a pilgrimage, as I have, to Lourdes, which is absolutely amazing. And you definitely need to get it on your bucket list if you've never been. But it's, as you remember, that town in France where the young girl called Bernadette saw visions of Mary, and Mary told Bernadette to dig in the ground. And when she did, a spring appeared. Catholics visit not only because they believe that you can be healed physically, spiritually by the waters, but they want to feel stronger and more at peace in body and mind. And like I said with Jerusalem, then it's about renewing your faith and commitment to Jesus. You've got Rome and you've got Walsingham as well. Okay, so pilgrimage is really important because for us as Catholics, we actually believe that life itself is a pilgrimage towards heaven, because life is, in essence, a journey towards God. Catholics will complete this journey and meet God when they die. And during the lifetime, the way we act as Catholics should reflect the idea of making progress on the journey towards God. We want, think about it, it's simple. If you were meeting someone that you really admire and respected, you would want them to think positively of you, and you want to behave in a way in which pleases them. And our life is very much about that preparation to meet God. So we're very mindful of the actions that we take, the decisions that we make, to help us progress all the time. So everything we do should contribute to this purpose of getting closer to God. That's why Catholics think of the Church as the pilgrim people of God. Okay, Stations of the Cross. A few seconds. Think in your head, how many are they and what are they? Okay, so Stations of the Cross. There are 14 of them. And if you remember, these are the series of images which you would see quite typically displayed around the church that remind Catholics of the event that happened from when on the days of Jesus' crucifixion, when he has to carry his cross from Pilate's house to Calvary, where he was crucified. Lent is a key time in the church's year where Catholics will often pray in front of those images, a form of dramatised prayer. And by doing this, it can help us feel more involved in the meaning of the prayer. And it's almost like a way to accompany Jesus on his last journey and to share in Jesus' suffering and to stay focused on our prayer. Okay, so that's really 5.1 and 5.2 there. We're moving on to 5.3, Mission and Evangelism in Drama. Now, if you're in my class, some of you might be thinking, oh, miss, this is just one of those areas where I'm a little bit unsure, I'm a little bit stuck. Please don't worry. It's a strange one because it's quite often one that everyone sort of is quite happy to hear, that we'll be watching a bit of Les Mis, sounds brilliant, all the rest of it. And it is, it's really interesting, but can at times be something that just trips people up and can be a bit of a barrier. People get a bit unsure about how to tackle the question. So hopefully in the next couple of minutes, this will help. So mission and evangelism in drama. That's ultimately why you will have seen clippets of Les Mis. If you're thinking, but I've not seen all of Les Mis, we don't show you all of Les Mis. It's just snippets from it. Because we've chosen Les Mis as an example for you to write about and just to understand how mission that concept of mission, okay, which, as you know, is about showing God's love through doing good actions. And evangelism, remember, okay, is about spreading the word of God. And we see those themes through drama. And for this, you would write about Les Mis. So you're going to be expected, really, if you did get a question on this, to know how it is shown in Les Mis. Give examples from Les Mis where we see mission and evangelism. But also to be thinking about the influence. Is it powerful? Is using drama as a means to explain the importance of mission evangelism, is that purposeful? Is that helpful? Thinking about the society that we live in and about how, we're a Netflix generation, so to speak, and how drama can help us access some really important, important concepts. So back to examples. Right, Catholic attitude towards mission evangelism. For Catholics, the main idea of mission is to show God's love through doing good actions. So missionaries hope that actions which express God's love and forgiveness will have a real effect on other people, influencing them to do good things in turn. So in Les Mis, if you remember, you've got two key characters, really. You've got Valjean and you've got Javert. So you might remember that there's a thief called Valjean. Okay, he's being released from prison. He's struggling. He's got nothing, and he steals quite a substantial amount of silver from the bishop. The bishop catches him in the act, and rather than stopping the police from throwing Valjean in jail, he actually says, "Oh, it was a gift that he was giving Valjean this as a gift to use the opportunity he's been given to do good." Okay, so this is very much showing that concept of mission here, because we're seeing the bishop's act of love and forgiveness persuade Valjean to become a better person. And that's one of the whole points and focus of a missionary, is to do that. He actually then sets up a factory to help create jobs and benefit from the wealth the bishop gave him. Moving on from that, to expand a bit more, missionaries and evangelists are guided by the teachings of Jesus, who taught that having the right attitude is more important than blindly following God's law. So to show love and forgiveness and kindness are sometimes more important in missionary work than simply following the rules. So again, in Les Mis, we see Valjean constantly pursued by his former jailer, Javert. Javert, Russell Crowe character, if you're thinking who is Javert, miss, refuses to forgive Valjean for his crimes and wants to send him back to prison. But at one point, Valjean actually saves Javert's life. And after this, Javert finds he cannot arrest Valjean. Valjean's kind act towards Javert ultimately saves Valjean from imprisonment, and goodness wins out over the law. And one of the final songs, this is a really useful collection of words to use, to love one another person is to see the face of God. To love another person is to see the face of God. Okay, peeps, right, just have a few seconds breather. Need to pause it, that's fine. Okay, so if I said to you, which key prayer did Jesus teach his disciples? Say it out loud now, what would you say? And also, how else is it otherwise known? Okay, so we refer to it as one, but there's another way it's also known. So I'm sure you've got it, so well done. It's the Lord's Prayer, otherwise known as the Our Father. Now, this is really important, because actually this is helping us understand this concept of kingdom of God in more detail, but also the Lord's Prayer being the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, understanding of what is required for God's kingdom to grow on earth. That's really important. So before we crack on and get into the Lord's Prayer, remember that the kingdom of God began when Jesus was born. This was when God's power came to earth. Okay, so you've got four stages here. It was then established through Jesus' resurrection, the coming of the Holy Spirit. It is then extended by Christians who form and help to spread the kingdom of God on earth. And then it will be completed at the end of time, when all people will enjoy the eternal happiness of heaven. Okay, so the kingdom of God is also known as the reign of God, when all people live as God intends. The creation of the kingdom of God is a gradual process. So misconception alert. Doesn't mean heaven, it's not another term for heaven. It's a gradual process beginning when Jesus was born and completed at the end of time. So linking in then to the Lord's Prayer, this amazing prayer. okay, which is so important. We get so much from this prayer. It does help us understand of what is required for God's kingdom to grow on earth. So if we kick off with our Father who art in heaven, well, what does that mean? Well, Jesus wants all people to be able to call God their Father and to have a trusting relationship with him. So that relationship with God our Father, that's one. Number two, hallowed be thy name. This is a prayer for God to be accepted as holy. When people respect the majesty and holiness of God, they recognise the importance of God in their lives. So they accept the call to become members of God's kingdom. Okay, so that idea of accepting God as holy. Three, thy kingdom come. What does that mean? Well, this is a prayer for God's kingdom to come and for people to accept the rule of God in their hearts. Number four, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, accepting and following God's will is important for establishing the kingdom. When everyone does the will of God, the kingdom will be fully established. Number five, give us this day our daily bread, an odd one, which some people often get a bit unsure about. Well, this is a prayer asking God to help provide the basics needed to survive so people can focus more on God, thus helping the kingdom to grow. So all the while through this prayer, this theme of through trusting God, accepting God as holy, praying for God's kingdom to God, accepting him and following, it's about enabling this kingdom of God to flourish. So point six, forgive us our trespasses. Forgiveness is huge, an important part of helping people to come close to God. To help spread the kingdom, people need to show forgiveness to others as well as accepting God's forgiveness for their own sins. Now, a fall down sometimes is if you did get a question on the Lord's Prayer, just to write about forgiveness. Well, it is more than that, okay? Deliver us from evil, a prayer to resist the temptation to sin, which will be assisted by God's grace. Say out loud now what the definition is of God, of grace. You know it. This is a really key transferable key term which comes up in all areas. So yes, grace, free, unconditional love. Well done. Okay, 5.5. Now this can, in terms of the sequence of kingdom of God, so you'll forgive me because I'm sort of going to jump about a little bit because it sort of makes sense to do that. So signs of the kingdom. How do we know that the kingdom of God is there and is flourishing and is growing? So the three signs of the kingdom, see if you can work it out in your head now, 5 seconds. J-P-R. Justice, peace and reconciliation. The kingdom of God is the perfect kingdom and requires these three things. So Christians can help the kingdom of God to grow by contributing to justice, peace and reconciliation. This is really important both in their lives and the lives of others. So justice, to help create justice, Christians should live in a way that respects the right of others. Okay, so justice ensures all people have access to human rights. Justice respects the dignity of every person. Justice treats all people fairly and equally, regardless of sex, age, etc., religion. Justice recognises that all people are created and loved equally by God. Peace. Peace flows from justice. There can be no peace where there is injustice. It is a state of total trust and unity for all peoples, and it is believed by Catholics to come from a person's heart. Reconciliation, okay, the idea of reconciliation, restoring relationships that have been damaged between people and ultimately God. So it's bringing back together people being broken apart, relies on acceptance and empathy, and requires people to learn from the past and work together. That is absolutely essential in order for the kingdom of God to grow. So in terms of just moving on a little bit, so in your revision guide, if you're using that, okay, actually comes up, excuse the sound of these papers, 5.11, in terms of 5.12, kingdom values in the life of the Catholic. So we've got these three signs for the kingdom of God to grow, justice, peace and reconciliation. Then right at the end of topic, there's a little bit of a section, okay, in terms of these signs that it's present are values as well. So they are signs that it's present, but they're very much values. So the values of justice, peace and reconciliation. Now, think in your head of a religious figure or even two, okay, of maybe somebody who has shown these and demonstrated these values in their life. Because remember what I said before, it's about adopting these in your own lives and those of others. So Pope Francis, a good example, because Pope Francis, okay, who is particularly concerned with creating justice for the poor by trying to end poverty and inequality. So how has he done that? Well, he became Pope Francis, when Pope Francis became Archbishop of Buenos Aires, he increased the number of priests working among the poor, set a good example, he aims to inspire others to live more simply, he criticises economic policies that lead to inequality and exploitation. So that's justice. Peace. Pope Francis has actually helped to create or call for peace. 2014 to 15 played a major role in restoring relations between Cuba and USA, bringing together leaders of countries that have been at war. So 2014 prayed and met with Palestinian Israeli presidents. Reconciliation. How does Pope Francis try to restore relationships? Well, I mentioned this in class, certainly to one of my classes, but every Maundy Thursday goes to a local prison and washes the feet of 12 prisoners, including Muslims. Why does he do that? Well, it shows that his belief that people have committed crimes should still be accepted in society. And that's also that concept of student leadership, and also making a point of showing the word Catholic is universal, reaching out to other faiths as well, and does visit areas of tension in the world. Okay, so you may be expected to know about how the signs of the kingdom, how do we know they're there, but how these are actually values lived out by yourself and others. Okay, so before I go back to looking at the hierarchy, I just want to speak just for a couple of minutes, actually, on the kingdom values in Christian vocations. So this idea of values, we've had justice, peace, okay, and reconciliation. That's really important. But in terms of the values, that they're the key ones. But in terms of the values and standards for living that God wants people to have as members of his kingdom. So if you're asked about what those kingdom values are, okay, then you'd be expected to recall the mnemonic which I taught you in class. Do you remember that mnemonic, Go Ham? Do you remember? Have a little think now in your head if you can work out what it stands for. So if you got asked a question about Christian vocations and how these kingdom values are the standards for people to live out, to be a member of his kingdom, but it's linked to vocation, because vocation is that call from God to take on a certain role in life. And through the Christian vocations of priesthood, family life and religious life, people embrace these kingdom values, such as serving others and showing love. Okay, that's really important. So here we go, Go Ham. G for gentleness, okay. O for obedience to God. H for humility. A, a wish to serve God, okay, and M, mercy or forgiveness, okay. You can also have a desire for peace and love in there, but that was just a little five value mnemonic to help you remember. So just a little reminder on Christian vocation. So Christians believe everyone has their own vocation, calling from God to use their talents for a particular purpose. Living by kingdom values is an important part of any vocation. So priesthood, a priest, an ordained minister of the Catholic Church, one who's chosen to celebrate Mass, preach and forgiveness sins. Priests take a promise of celibacy, so they promise not to marry or have sex. They commit themselves, body and soul, to God. Okay, like a priest, a priest serves others, and they take a promise of obedience to their bishop. Family life, love is an important kingdom value that unites a family together. Catholic parents try to show kingdom values in their relationship with one another. Family life is a vocation. I think about myself, and I'm sure a lot of you with your family, in terms of it's a part of our life. We also teach our children kingdom values, and doing so they help spread the kingdom of God on earth. Religious life, so that is monks and nuns who commit themselves to God. Religious brothers and sisters, think of Brother John when he came in for that little talk. Do you remember all about his religious life? That is a vocation. Brother John talks about gentleness, talks about obedience to God, talks about humility, mercy, etc. Okay. Religious life, so Brother John again, you'll remember that he lives a simple life, dedicated to prayer and serving worship. And that's really important. Okay, all right. So if you just need to have a little bit of a pause, then do, because we're 20 minutes in. Got about 5 minutes left of this one, because I find sometimes when I'm listening to a podcast, which I do a lot, I can switch off. So if you need to like pause it and have a break, do. Okay, so I say the word hierarchy. What does that mean? Hierarchy is a ranking system. So hierarchy of the Catholic Church. See if you can do it in your head now. What are the main positions in the Catholic Church's hierarchy? Let's go. Starting from the bottom, lay people, non-ordained members of the church, sharing the priestly office of Christ with their baptism. Deacons, preaching the word of God, assisting the priest. Priests, responsible for a small area of the church called a parish. Bishops, successors to the apostles, responsible for a diocese. Remember diocese? Yeah, a large area of churches. Cardinals, appointed by the Pope, the elected successor, and the good old Pope, head of the church. Fabulous Pope. Pope leads the church and all authority in the church ultimately lies with him. So important. But the Pope sometimes needs to consult with other people in the hierarchy to make sure he's making the best decisions to the whole church. So, Second Vatican Council, do you remember what that was? The main aim of it, 1962-5, was to work out how to make the church more open and accessible. So the council produced four major documents. And as I said, or I will say in class, you don't worry if you can't remember the Latin. Even if you remember the English, that's fine. So De Verbum, which is the word of God, that's one, deals with the importance of interpretation of the Bible. Number two, On the Sacred Liturgy, deals with the liturgy, worship and church services. Number three, On the Church, okay, deals with the nature and structure of the church and stresses that all members of the church have important roles to play. And number four, Church in the Modern Society, deals with issues related to modern society, stresses that the church should not be separate from modern society, but should guide people on how to live in the modern world. Okay, next one. Mary and the Magnificat. So remember, the Magnificat is a prayer that Mary said after she became pregnant with Jesus and visited her cousin Elizabeth. Key misconception, got this one. Catholics believe that Mary is the perfect disciple, and some of her qualities which compute to this are shown in the Magnificat. So this is interesting because it's seen as a controversial kingdom prayer, because some people think it could inspire the poor and weak to rise up against their government as a means of spreading the kingdom of God on earth. So that sense of revolution in the prayer. He has brought down the powerful from the thrones and lifted up the lowly. So some people think that the Magnificat actually supports those who are rebelling against the government. Whereas others think the prayer just shows how God supports the weak and helpless. Easy. So do you remember that the prayer, the qualities, Mary shows humility. Mary praises God's greatness. Mary shows her acceptance of God's will. And Mary shows her trust in God. Okay, guys. So, four marks of the Catholic Church and apostolic succession. Four marks of the church are, go. See if you can remember what they are. We'd say these in the Nicene Creeds. We've got a little bit of a interleaving point here. See if you can even remember when we study the Nicene Creed. True and God. Yeah, so four marks of the church. One, Catholic. One, holy, Catholic and apostolic. One, church is one united body. Holy, the presence of God makes the church holy. Catholic, the word Catholic means whole or worldwide. Apostolic, church's teachings are built on the teachings of the 12 apostles. So linking to this, apostolic succession is obviously remembering for us as Catholics that the bishops and the popes are successors to the apostles. This means that the authority of the apostles has been passed down from one generation of bishops to the next. And it also means the authority of Peter, who led the apostles in the early church, has been passed down to the current pope. Okay, so this combined authority of the bishop and popes is known as the magisterium. And the church is very much guided by the Holy Spirit, which is a key part there of the magisterium. Right then, just two to finish, which you highlighted as a few couple of little sticking points. So 5.9, which is conciliar and pontifical nature of the church. So the church is conciliar because Councils, meetings of the Pope and bishops are sometimes held to make important decisions and update church teachings, okay? So churches concilia help the Pope to discuss difficult issues with other members of the church and to understand the feelings of the whole Catholic community. Councils influence the teachings and directions of the church. Pontifical. Anything pontifical is relating to the Pope. Pope is also known as pontiff. Okay, so the Pope is leader of the church and has the highest authority. The Pope's teachings must be taken very seriously and can be declared infallible. Do you remember that word? So without error. So linking to this, Catholic social teachings. Church believes that God loves all people. Church also acknowledges that people are vitally important to its existence. Without human beings, there'd be no church. And the church is against economic exploitation and a culture of greed, helps to support the weakest and poorest members of society. Okay. Church as the body of Christ. So the body of Christ, which explains why charity is so important for us. So Jesus's command to love your neighbour as yourself shows that we have to respond to those who need it and show love to those in need. So that is how we will be the body of Christ, because we are modeling ourselves on Christ. Think of Christ, think of our character virtues. Okay, Christians work through local, national and global charities to follow this teaching. So two examples you need. Can you think now what they are in your head? SVP. Okay, that's the example of Catholic charity working locally. It's a local one, providing friendship, practical help to people in the local area. It might be a residential home for elderly people. Or CAFOD, an example of a charity which works nationally and globally and makes a difference at national and international level. Okay, so there we are. Right, I am going to stop there. So best thing to do now is, hopefully this podcast may have identified just a couple of areas that you think, yeah, I want to go over that again. Okay, as always, if there's anything that you think would help you in class for the lesson, because this, I'm releasing this, this should be Sunday, it's going out. So on Tuesday when I have you, let me know and I will do my very best to help you. And other thing is, make sure you're getting a rest. I know you are hammered and really busy with your assessments, but please, please, please make sure that you are looking after yourselves and you're getting rest and making sure you get those breaks in. Okay. All right. Bye-bye. Thank you.